Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
A wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. That's phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, who is none other than David Galati. David Galati joined the C12 Group executive team in 2014 with more than 20 years of experience in marketing, sales, franchise, and entrepreneurial startups. In addition to serving as marketing director for a multi-billion dollar firm, he has served as CEO and president for several entrepreneurial organizations. Most recently, as COO, he was instrumental in transforming an unprofitable $8 million company into a solidly profitable $25 million business in less than 5 years. In addition to his leadership prowess, Dave is a seasoned life and business coach with a BA from the University of Massachusetts Amherst and an MS in Christian Counseling from Cairn University. Dave Galati, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you today?
Good, Robbie. How are you doing today, brother?
Just living the dream, as always.
Amen to that.
Well, man, I'm excited about our conversation today. And in my bio of you, I just kind of said a little bit about your business background. Tell us a little bit about your family real quick before we get into the rest of the program.
Thank you. I got a late start, and it's probably God is never late, which is good. I don't know if I was ready, but I have a young family still. I have a 7-year-old son named Gabriel and a 4-year-old daughter named Gianna, married to the love of my life, Michelle. We just celebrated our 10th year anniversary. God is good and faithful, and it's been a real challenge. You know, one of the things we talk about vocationally, there's playbooks and handbooks you can read about how to run a business and lead people and all that, but it kind of gets thrown out the window when you're talking about your family. And it's God has a way of kind of challenging us each and every day, especially as men. How do we lead as husbands and fathers in this world we live in today? So I'm just really blessed. I'm glad that I have a close relationship with the Lord, because it's very hard to raise kids today and to be a father and a husband.
Amen to that. I know exactly what you mean. I've got three of my own, one who's a sophomore in college, a daughter, and a son who's a sophomore in high school, and a 12-year-old daughter who's a 7th grader going through middle school. So just understand that right now you have it easy, pal. And then when they get to the teenage years, then it gets fun. Actually, that's probably a lie. It's never easy to be a parent, is it, pal? Never easy at all.
No.
But perhaps one of the most, if not the most rewarding things on the planet, for sure.
Amen.
Tell us a little bit more and give us a deeper understanding of what you're doing right now vocationally to feed your family and how God led you to this point in your career.
Yeah, so right now I'm the Vice President of Market Development for the C12 Group. C12 is a unique organization. It's a for-profit, fee-for-service business that actually functions as a ministry. Our mission statement is to advance the kingdom of God in the marketplace, and we do that through CEO roundtable experiences. Christian business owners and CEOs gather, facilitated by C12 chairs, in a monthly format, kind of iron sharpens iron, best-in-class business, virtual board of directors. And so my role is to find, recruit, and vet chairs for various markets across the country. Right now we're in about 90 metro areas, about 2,000 members, being served by about 100 chairs. Our North American profile looks more like 300 shares over the next decade. And so that's my primary responsibility to do that. So it's really a sales and development role. But I really, it's very unique in that I get to fulfill a ministry calling through for-profit business. And so, that's how I feed my family. I get paid a salary. I get just like any other kind of sales guys, there's bonuses and commissions associated with it. But the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning is the idea that I'm out there helping this mission to advance the kingdom of God in the marketplace. I got to this point in my career. I came to faith in my mid-30s, kind of a radical conversion from a incredibly secular worldview. Lord did some amazing things in me right away and continues to do that daily as I allow him. But, you know, I had a unique background in franchising, that small business ownership, entrepreneurism, but also have worked for a couple of Fortune 500 companies, as well as recently working in kind of a small mid-cap companies. I've done a lot of coaching and consulting, advising. I have a master's degree in Christian counseling. I have a certification in Christian business coaching and life coaching. And so I think this is really a culmination of the Lord calling me into this work as an expression of the best and highest that he has for me vocationally. So I really get to use all of my gifts, talents, and abilities in a way that God wired me, but for his kingdom directly. So it's really pretty exciting. I pinch myself every morning that I actually get to do work like this that matters. And I just thank God he didn't call me to be a missionary in China or something, because that would probably be really hard for me to do. And he wired me for business. And I just love the ability to be able to do business, but do business for him and for his purpose.
That's all good. Now, as you've been along that journey, as God has taken you from where you were to where you are today, what would you say, what would you consider to have been your biggest career failure? Or if you don't like the term failure, then maybe your biggest career challenge. And what did you learn from that?
Well, that's a great question. I thought about what that looks like. I think there's pre-Christ and post-Christ. And so as a guy that got out and cut his teeth in business through his 20s and 30s with having a secular worldview, you know, failure looks like, money lost or opportunity lost. It's very flesh. It's very temporal. And so I think in that regard, I would say my biggest failure in that was maybe not, you know, there was opportunities that I had, that I turned down where I could have made more money. And so that, again, that's where a lot of folks, look at that from a secular perspective and say, yeah, that's failure because you didn't chase the money, right? You didn't make the most that you could have made. But since I've come to faith, and my worldview is obviously different, and from a biblical perspective, I think the biggest failure I had wasn't really, so I think a failure is different. I think it's a challenge. So when I got my master's degree in Christian counseling in 2008, I really thought the Lord was calling me to full-time ministry at that point. I thought he was calling me to some form of pastoral ministry. In my pride, in my arrogance, in my selfishness, I tried to force that. And when it didn't happen at that point, and looking back now, I can obviously see why. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't mature enough. I actually got very angry with God for a season. And I kind of went back in kind of default secular mode for a very short season. And it wasn't until, you know, I began to understand that, you know, some things like, you know, God is never late. God has a plan and it's better than our plan, and began to understand him. There was a season where I felt like it was painful for me because I failed to understand God's sovereignty. And that was a failure because I failed to live in what God would have for me in that moment. Now, of course, God is gracious. And several years later, he did finally call me to full-time ministry, which is what I thought he was doing, but according to his plan and purpose. And then I look back and I realize how God really protected me from those things. So the challenge was twofold. Again, the secular, very straightforward, but more of a spiritual issue relative to, you know, once I came to Christ. I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does. And when you said when you gave your answer to that, it made me think of something that I had occasion to teach in a Sunday school lesson recently. James chapter 1 teaches us that And we can ask God for wisdom, but he will not answer our prayer for wisdom if we're double-minded.
Yep.
And what I learned in studying that passage is in that context, what God is saying is this. Double-minded in that context doesn't just mean a man or woman of two minds, not knowing which way to go. It also means that you're double-minded about whose wisdom is better, God's or man's. And see, your anger at that time resulted from a situation where in your mind you might have said God's wisdom was better, but in your heart you thought yours was. And I think each and every one of us struggles with that. I know I have tons of times over the years where I'm acknowledging with my brain, oh yeah, God's wisdom is better. But in my heart, I'm still thinking and acting as if my way is better. And that creates so much frustration and so much anger until we finally get to the point where God breaks us down to the point where, hey, not only my mind, but also in my heart will I acknowledge God's way is better. I'll no longer be double-minded about whose way is better. I'll get out of the way, let God direct, and then life starts to click at that point. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, and it was a season of struggle because of my rejection of that, right? Because of the disconnect between my head and my heart. And I think we, as believers, there's a difference between intellectual assent, where we recognize something, but fail to live that out. And I think that's a good word. I think that God calls us to be fully integrated in what we do relative to the heart and the mind, and that there's, you know, feelings and emotions and thoughts will betray us. And our heart is wicked above all things. And so the reality is we need to constantly be checking that, right? And really against the mirror of God's word. And if we're not willing to embrace that rebuke internally in order to move forward, right? So that these seasons are seasons of, you know, standing in the wilderness going, what's going on? And it's really of our own doing. God didn't bring us into the wilderness. We brought ourselves into the wilderness, you know, of our own free will. And so I think it's important to understand some of those things from that perspective. But I appreciate that word. That's a good word.
Yeah, man. Well, on the other side of that coin, what would you say has been your biggest career success and what made it so successful?
Well, I think on the flip side of that, and again, I want to be consistent in how I look at this because, again, it's easy to do that, is, you know, once I finally acquiesced and accepted, kind of had that wrestling match and God took out my hip kind of thing, and I started walking around with a limp a little bit, it was more of now the Lord could kind of execute his plan for me. And so that began to happen about, you know, about the fall of 2013. And immediately after that, so I was in a very successful role. I was a Christian in a secular company that had a lot of Christians in it. So the CEO of the company, I was president COO, he was an old Eagle Scout. And so all those values, all Christian values, and he had about six different businesses, and four out of the six were led by evangelical Christians. And so it was, you know, we would do Bible studies, and I led several folks to Christ, and it was very open. So it was a great environment. But I had come to a point where I thought, you know, it was a comfortable thing. And the Lord, once I got into a situation where I was really waiting on him and I was committed to what he would want for me, you know, kind of day to day, that's when, you know, the C12 kind of final call to ministry came about. And it was really a point of full submission, surrender, and peace, and understanding that God is in control. All he's promising me is today. He doesn't promise me tomorrow. And that their obedience is a thing that he wants us to be obedient and with a joyful heart. It's not kicking and screaming obedience. I get that a lot around my house. but, you know, right? So when our hearts are right with the Lord, that's when he can open these things up and open up opportunities. And then right around that time is opened up the C12 opportunity, which, as I said earlier, has been a fulfillment really of a lifetime of skills, abilities, experience, passion, but really focused with eternity in mind. And so the biggest success was actually really what I say is really submitting to the Lord fully and allowing him to kind of guide and direct my path.
Submitting to the Lord fully. That's a great piece of advice to wrap up segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work." Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason to roam into the night, to find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Dave Galati. Dave, was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did He kind of clear the smoke for you?
Well, Robbie, getting back to what I said earlier about, I got saved in my early 30s and really felt the Lord immediately upon saving me, saying He had a plan for me in the kingdom and as in full-time ministry. And I thought that the plan included, going to graduate school, getting my master's in counseling, and then getting right into ministry. And so The confusion came when, now I could share probably 2 hours worth of stories with you. Literally, I had about 8 or 9 interviews after I graduated, and several of them, like 3 or 4, I was a finalist, flew in somewhere, interviewed with the leadership, and this was anywhere from a pastoral counselor to executive pastor to vice president of administrations of a Christian college to regional director from a large Christian ministry. So all of these opportunities. And at each opportunity, the door would close right at the end. And so that confusion is what bred that kind of anger that I talked about earlier. And so I thought this was the path that he had me on. But then I realized that God is never late. So really was understanding that if I believe what God spoke to my heart the night he saved me, that I know that there was a reason that it wasn't now. And again, looking back, I can see that clearly. I wasn't ready. I wasn't mature enough. I still had lots of pride issues I was dealing with. You know, when I first got saved, I felt like I was running for God. And it was like, Lord's like, I don't want you to run for me. I want you to walk with me. And so it became good. An understanding that once I began to understand what it looked like to walk with God daily, then the smoke began to clear. And I began to have peace in the role that I had. And I became, I understood that even though I wasn't in full-time ministry, that as a Christian in business, I'm called to be an ambassador for Christ in the marketplace. I'm called to have a testimony of his faithfulness. And so whether that's, you know, if you're a janitor in a business or the CEO, it's irrespective. The call is the same. It's a general call to be ambassadors for Christ in the marketplace wherever we are. And so I think it's important to understand that Once I realized that it wasn't about the title, it wasn't about the role, it wasn't about any of that, it was about where my heart was relative to what God was calling to me to do in that specific role, I began to get a lot more clear. And at that point, you know, the aha moment came when the Lord spoke to my heart in the fall of 2013 as I was praying and I had quiet time. And I sensed him say, now it's time. And I remember asking him, well, now it's time for what? And for full-time ministry. And it was that moment that speaking in my heart that facilitated the call to C12 and the role that I'm in now for the past 3 years. So I think it really just it comes down to just being able and willing to walk with God daily and not get ahead of him and have our ideas for what it looks like. And then when he doesn't validate those ideas, we get frustrated, angry, and bitter and all that. And that's our own flesh really working against us.
Yeah, big time. How are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
Yeah, so I'm very blessed. The C12 is an overtly Christian organization. We kind of stick our chin out for the gospel. And so really it's all about being able to recruit market movement leaders, folks that want to go into markets and lead C12 group practices and help Christian business owners become fully integrated. There's a deep bifurcation in our society today. You know, the idea that a Christian business owner would lead a fully integrated life for Christ is a foreign thing. And what it looks like is, hey, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to go, you know, come on Wednesday. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to support missions. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to be a good, moral, free enterprise kind of guy. But I'm not going to share my faith on Monday because somebody might be offended or I might, you know, get sued or I can't do that. I might lose customers. There's a big fear within the Christian business community about what they can and can't do and what's acceptable and what's good. And so to be able to help our organization helps Christian CEOs to kind of get over that and understand that if they own a business and they're Christians, well, that's actually Christ's business. Christ is calling, you know, everything. Christ owns everything. And if we surrender it all, then things begin to happen. And so there becomes this transformation that they, instead of being a Christian in business, they understand that they're called to lead a company for Christ. And that's a big paradigm shift. They understand biblical stewardship. They understand what it means to use the business as a platform for ministry, whether that's chaplains that come in and serve and minister to their employees, whether it's Bible studies or missions teams and ministry teams and care teams, and just really to be able to kind of bring forth the gospel in the marketplace. You know, very few folks that are not exposed to the church ever go to a church, but everybody goes to work. I mean, we spend 50, 60, 70% of our waking time kind of in the marketplace. And the idea that people could see the gospel lived out in real ways, not legalistic Bible thumping, hit you over the head, but real ways where people are being loved and cared for and the gospel is being preached and teached in real life ways. It's powerful. And we see that. So last year through our organization, over 5,000 people came to faith in Christ through C12 member companies. About $250 million flowed from the four walls of C12 member companies directly into ministry, not 10% of the business owner's income going to the church. That's still occurring. We're talking about above and beyond stuff. For the kingdom, countless stories of discipling going on, marriages being restored, prodigals coming home, addictions being broken, the power of the gospel lived out in the marketplace. You know, Billy Graham said about 20 years ago that he thought the next great movement of God in America was going to be through believers in the marketplace. And C12 believes that God has positioned us on the front line of that to fulfill that mission and that vision. So it's really exciting. So I'm super blessed to be able to I'm really wholly unworthy, to be candid with you, to be able to impact others for Christ through the movement that we're a part of.
That is a tremendous impact. And I tell you, if you're listening to this podcast right now, don't ever believe again for one moment that your business is not your ministry. If you're under that impression, get that out of your mind right now. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing in the world today, in business or whatnot, you are definitely in a mission field. You don't have to be in China or Africa or Europe or even the United States as a missionary under that common understanding of what missionary means. You are a missionary right where you are. And just to hear the impact that these C12 member companies are having is just awesome, man. Thanks for letting us know that. And have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about it and how you reacted to it.
Yeah, so one thing that comes to mind fairly vividly, so I had a consulting and a coaching practice, and I had several fairly prominent franchise organizations as part of that. And I just felt led, there was an entrepreneur, great guy, but I felt led to share the gospel with him. But he was Jewish, and we had a great relationship. But I just felt like sharing the gospel with him. I don't know whether it was me, you know, I didn't do a good job with it, but it was awkward. He took offense to it. It created some very tense moments for us in our relationship. And you know, I landed in a place of peace because you know, the Lord only asks us to do what he asks us to do. We don't save anybody. The Lord does. And I don't know what will happen in 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years if he will come to faith. But it's not about that. It's about what God being faithful to what God asks us to do. And so sometimes it's going to seem like we're going to have egg in our face. You know, we're going to share the gospel or do something that God calls us to do in the marketplace, in our workplace, and it's not going to land well, and it's going to create tension. But my response to the whole thing was my intent is never to offend you. I just felt led that I had to share that with you. At the end of the day, I still respect you. I care for you. The way I see you is I said what I said because I care. And from my perspective, your response has no effect on me, and my prayer is that it wouldn't have an effect on you. And you know, it ended up landing in a good place with him, because I think he understood that this wasn't a personal thing. This was about me believing what I believe in a way and sharing it in speaking the truth in love to him. And I sensed that the Holy Spirit, at the very least, was able to help him understand that this was meant for love. This was meant for good. And so I felt that we're good. In fact, our relationship is good. And he said to me, I keep in touch with him. He said to me, you know, I want you to know that I do respect your faith. I really do. You seem like you're real about it. You don't pretend to be anything that you're not. You don't seem to, you never pretend to be better than anybody or, you know, that anything. And so I think the important thing to understand in expressing faith in the workplace is to do it in a way that we show realness, transparency, authenticity, and that we don't represent ourselves to be something that we're not, right? You know, and everybody that talks about Romans 12, 1 and 2, the great verses of being transformed by the renewing of your mind and not being, you know, compliant to the patterns of this world, all of that. But the next verse goes to say, and don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And so I think we lose sight of the fact that apart from God's grace, we're nothing. We have nothing of value to God. It's God's grace that gives us value. And because he says we have value, then we have value. And the reality is that all humans have value. We all have dignity. We're all equal image bearers. Now, we have to discern between those that have accepted Christ and not, but the reality is we're not the judge, jury, and executioner. We're called to be faithful in the marketplace to what God has for us to do. So I don't know if that answers your question, but you know, we're all faced daily with challenges in the workplace.
Absolutely. And it did absolutely answer my question. Good share there. What is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
You know, I think the personal discipline of quiet time and reflection and contemplation and prayer. I think it's important that we kind of get outside of our normal, you know, normal thing. Like we're always feel like we're in the act of doing things versus the act of being. You know, the Lord always speaks to my heart a lot about, you know, be still and know that I'm God. Just be still. I'm a high A guy, a driver, you know, just very kind of wired for activity and for productivity. And I think we need to step back, especially as business leaders, and really just have a habit of contemplation, of reflection, of personal quiet time, intimacy with God, hearing from God, reading his word, praying, reading about others, you know, kind of heroes of the faith, kind of Hebrews 11 kind of folks, and just understand the legacy that goes before us and the history of that. So I would say that's probably the number one habit that I have.
Very good. Very good. Now, just in case it's different, and if it's not, that's cool too, but just in case it's different, what would you say is your number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Well, I think it ties into the personal habit. It's a part of it. So a part of it is constantly maintaining the ability to have knowledge around business and staying in track and reading books and personal development and business books and sales, marketing, you know, and some of these are Christian based. Some of them are, you know, like Jim Collins and, you know, Good to Great, books like that, that help you to refine who you are, kind of always kind of checking in your rearview mirror as a business leader, irrespective as a, you know, in other aspects of your life. But it's so it ties into that, just being a lifelong learner and really being humble in the fact that once we think we've arrived and we think we have all of the answers, that's when we lose our effectiveness as leaders.
I wish I had a dollar for every time my guests cited Good to Great by Jim Collins, because I would be a multimillionaire by
well,
now. That is such a classic, isn't it?
It is, and there's strong biblical principles in that book, and that's the nice thing about biblical principles, that they apply universally, right? And so irrespective of your faith convictions, we can, as Christians, speak about biblical principles in ways that everyone can understand.
There you go. Share a productivity tool that you use, Dave, and it could be internet-based, it could be non-internet-based, but a productivity tool that you use to keep yourself effective and efficient in the marketplace.
Yeah, so we actually use, so I've used several over the years around the same kind of thing, and that's really a high-end, fully integrated CRM. So obviously being in sales and in marketing, we currently use HubSpot, which is a full integration marketing and sales CRM, everything from calendar links to tracking emails and templated emails and, you know, responses and if this and that, drip campaigns, blogging, all of that. It allows us to be able to impact and communicate with a greater amount of folks that may or may not have interest in what we're doing. And it takes away what would normally just suck up lots of hours manually. The other thing I learned to do years ago, I'm a lefty, and, you know, back in the day, you know, they didn't really cater towards anybody that wasn't right-handed. So I learned at an early age how to type. And I knew that it was going to be successful because my handwriting is virtually illegible. I can barely read it myself. And so now everything I do, I type. And so whether that's on the iPad or my computer, whatever it is, or even on my phone, I know how to type very quickly and very effectively. And so overall, I kind of came up with that kind of a newer mindset relative to being an executive where you type your own emails, you do your own thing, and so you're not relying on somebody else for some of that communication, and you can effectively communicate both verbally but in writing as well.
You know, I knew I liked you, man, because I'm a lefty as well, and I'm with you. I'm with you. I can't hardly read my own writing, so I'm a very good typist as well for that very reason. I'd much rather write a note in Evernote or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I use Evernote. Yeah, I use Evernote. Yeah. I just discovered a journaling software day one. And I'm starting to use that as well. That's just more for personal stuff. And I'm at church taking notes and typing, tying into YouVersion and stuff like that. I guess I'm a Generation X guy, but sometimes I act like a millennial.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Take the best of both worlds.
I wish I looked like a millennial.
You and me both, man. You and me both. Real quick question about HubSpot.
Sure.
Is that a generic one, or is that one specifically designed for C12, or could some of our listeners check into it as well for their businesses?
HubSpot is a product that's readily available to the public. It's a turnkey product. If you're in the business of marketing and selling, whatever the service is, it's incredibly powerful. Integrate social media, blogs, all your different advertising into the platform. And then that's on the other side of the marketing side, which will track all your marketing analytics, your conversion rates, all of that. It'll also help you to take those customers from the marketing pipeline into the sales pipeline, the direct contact where you have sales folks that would be calling on these leads and following up and walking them through a whole process of sales conversion. So it's very powerful. I think it's HubSpot.com. Very powerful, and it's reasonably affordable for an organization that has a little bit of size and scale. I think if you're kind of a sole proprietor individual, it's probably not justifiable, but a small business and up can certainly benefit from it, and it's scalable.
Very good. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
Well, first and foremost, you need to pray about it. You really do. You need, and it's not just a obligatory comment. It's real. You need to really, if you're a believer and you're feeling like you want to open a business, you need to make sure it's part of God's will for your life. And, you know, whether that's reading His word and having confirmation there, get advice and counsel from godly advisors, making sure that if God is calling you to something, He'll equip you. So it's not always about feeling like, well, I'm super equipped, I can do this. But what is it? Pray through the question, God, what do you have for me here? What is your expression for me as the best and highest now? And so that would be number one, really just seeking counsel, praying, making sure it's part of God's will. The other is make sure you always kind of, you want to plan for the best, but act like it's going to be the worst. And so you got to have contingency plans in place, and you've got to really kind of think soberly and realistically about your expectations. And then tying into that is you need to plan. You need to have a real business plan, something that's measurable, SMART goals, right? Something that you can actually achieve that you'll know if you're doing well, it's because you're following your plan. And the other thing is to make sure that you adjust that plan if it's not going well. And so the idea that, you know, I heard stories of, you know, start a business on the back of a cocktail napkin, I don't recommend doing that because the chances of your success are greatly reduced. Business plans work. They're designed to work. And irrespective of whether you're writing one because you have to, because you're getting financing or something like that, having a business plan, a strategic plan, a tactical plan, and following that, especially early through your process as you're building, is critical to launching a business.
That's all good stuff. Now, we've already talked about books a little bit because we talked about good to great, but just to make sure I cover all the bases, if you could recommend just one book other than the Bible to our listeners, because we know the Bible's number one, recommendation for everybody to read, but any one book you could recommend, what would it be and why? And if it is good, great, that's fine, but I wanted to see if there was something else.
No, the book that was so paramount in some of my spiritual formation and my understanding about God and his will early on in my walk is a book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Many people know it's a very popular book. And I went through that book with a kind of a group study as well. And it was powerful. It changed really the course of what I thought, you know, I understood it as a new believer, especially. So I would say that's probably, one of my all time favorite books, if not, and so that just came to mind because, you know, one of the things is the big pretense of it is God is working all around us. He's always at work, always and everywhere. And so rather than framing up a thing saying, well, God, you know, what can I do for you? Right. You know, and I will create something here. It's more about being aware and praying, Lord, where are you working now? And how can I be a part of that? And when Christians understand that, amazing things can happen. Transformation occurs not only in the individual, but, you know, in families, in our society, when we understand that God is always working around us.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I listened to that book on audiobook within the last 6-7 months, and it was fabulous. Matter of fact, Henry Blackaby, like Billy Graham, also said that he thought the next big revival would be through the business community. So that's good company to be in right there.
His organization has a great ministry to large scale Fortune 500 CEOs, and so God is working all around us, even in Fortune 500 companies, public companies.
Absolutely. Well, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
You know, this question is something that I think it's one of those questions where I think I'm torn about because part of me wants to, you know, jump right into, you know, finding God's calling and getting in, dialing in focus. But I think, you know, the thing about the world we live in today is somebody at 17, you know, might not look like this person at 34 or at 55 or at 70. And so I think the reality in this day that we live in today, the advice would be to understand as best you can what you're good at, like where are you wired, like and find some things, especially early on in your career, that have you operating at a point of strength. And so part of that is to get experience around those strengths, right? And then as you begin to get into your career, that's when you begin to be more intentional around, okay, is all this coming together? God, how is this all coming together? What does it look like for me in my late 20s, early 30s, into my 40s, when I'm really focusing in on what this will look like? But acquiring the skills that complement your strengths. One of the things I learned early on as a leader was it takes you 10 times more energy, effort, frustration to try to fix somebody's weakness than it would be to help them improve and just flourish in their strengths. And so I just believe that we need to be focused on operating of our strengths, seeing what that looks like, rather than saying as a high school, well, I'm going to do this because my father did it, or I'm going to do this because I can make money doing it, or I'm going to do this because it sounds good. And I think a lot of decisions are made by high school and teenagers that are based on those kinds of things, rather than saying, what are my strengths and how can I flourish and grow my knowledge around my strengths?
Good advice. Good advice. Well, I know, Dave, I've been blessed by our conversation today, and my guess is a lot of other people have been as well. So if someone wanted to reach out to you and maybe follow up with you directly with some questions or comments, what would be the best way they could reach you?
Yeah, the best way, I mean, you can go visit www.c12group.com. My email is david.gullotti, G-U-L-L-O-T-T-I, at c12group.com. I'd be happy to connect. My calling is not, you know, as part of this role as a market development, is really to walk with those who the Lord allows our paths regarding vocational discernment. And so I'm equally blessed when I talk with folks that I can offer advice and counsel to that might not end up being a part of the C12 community, but help them understand what God has for them vocationally. So feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to correspond with you and serve you as best I can for the kingdom. You know, the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few, and the Lord is raising up those for the harvest, especially in the marketplace. And so my prayer for all your listeners is that as God leads you, as God directs you, that you'd be obedient, you'd wait on Him, and you'd understand that He has a plan for your life, and that includes your business, that includes your vocation. And don't ever lose sight of that. God wants all of you, including your vocation.
That is awesome stuff. Dave Galati, thank you so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings. Man, you have a great day.
You too, Robbie. God bless you.
And as always, we will have links at careercallings.net to the different ways that you can reach Dave Galati and follow up with him with any questions or comments that the Lord has laid on your heart. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.